Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, welcome to the Rosslare podcast. Today I'd like to discuss not only the legality of the UK's decision to deport migrants arriving on their shores to Rwanda, but also the morality of such a decision.
This innovative approach, driven by our shared humanitarian impulse and made possible by Brexit freedoms, will provide safe and legal routes for asylum while disrupting the business model of the gangs.
This, of course, is Boris Johnson talking, having rid himself of the shackles of the European Union and how he wished to save innocent lives. The former Prime Minister, Theresa May, had this to say.
I do not support the removal to Rwanda policy on the grounds of legality, practicality and efficacy.
And the Archbishop of Canterbury had this to say.
There are such serious ethical questions about sending asylum seekers overseas. The principle must stand the judgment of God, and it cannot.
The future king of the nation, Prince Charles, is said to have called this decision appalling.
This is about making sure that we break the business model of criminal gangs who are not only risking people's lives, but undermining public confidence in legal migration.
The Home Secretary, Priti Patel, who signed the agreement with Rwanda on behalf of the UK government, had this to say, though the United Nations thought otherwise.
This agreement is comparable with all our domestic and international legal obligations.
A spokesperson for the Rwanda government had this to say.
We're a safe country. We're a country that's welcoming to migrants and refugees. We've hosted more than 130,000 refugees. Some have been here for more than 25 years.
The opposition, the Labour Party, had this to say.
This scheme is completely unworkable, deeply unethical and extortionately expensive.
When challenged by the Shadow Home Secretary as to the cost of sending refugees to Rwanda, this is what Priti Patel had to say.
Speaker, if I may say so, first of all, when it came to our accounting officer advice, we should put this always into the context that asylum costs are soaring across the United Kingdom and have been for many, many years because of the number of people that are coming here illegally and the cost and the strain that that puts on, particularly during the pandemic, Madam Deputy Speaker. And if I may, the Right Honourable Lady will know this because this is something that has been discussed at Select Committee many, many times in her capacity as chair and when she was on the committee when the Right Honourable Lady on the front bench was chair of the committee, about COVID impacts on asylum specifically. Now, she's also asked about payments. We don't speak about operational costs right now for a range of reasons, because quite frankly, yes, it is taxpayers' money, primarily because of commercial sensitivities in terms of how we run our operations. And she will also recognise as well, I think the House should recognise, when we have mob rule turning up to thwart our charter flights, and some of them have ended up in courts before as well, it is right that we keep our commercial operators and their confidentiality and the way in which they work with the Home Office. But she has asked about the payment mechanisms to Rwanda as part of the partnership deal, and we'd be very happy to drop her a line and share that information with her.
The sad thing is, I can understand the British fears, and I think it was this fear that actually caused Brexit. But on the 14th of this month, 11 inflatable crafts were intercepted and 444 people brought ashore in Britain.
As Carmichael.
Madam Deputy Speaker, why does the Home Secretary say, as she does in her statement, it is no use pretending they are fleeing persecution when they are not? The Home Secretary will be aware that Home Office figures tell us that 98% of those who make the Channel crossing claim asylum. The same Home Office figures tell us that 64% of asylum applications are granted at first instance, and that rises to almost 80% after appeal. So there are only three options here. Either the Home Secretary, in demonising these people, is making an incorrect statement, or else the Home Office figures are incorrect, or else the Home Office is granting asylum applications to people who are not fleeing persecution. Which is it?
Deputy Speaker, if I may, there's a fourth option, which, if I may to the Right Honourable Gentleman say that he is wrong on all counts, because it is a fact, Madam Deputy Speaker, that the individuals coming over the channel are coming from a safe country, which is France. And with that, of course, well, he will be aware. He will be aware through the debates that we've had in this House on our Act of Parliament, Nationalising Borders Bill, the changes that are being made to immigration courts and tribunals to stop the repeated claims that go through the courts, to actually speed up processes and actually bring the scrutiny that's needed to stop claim after claim. We've just spoken about the exploitation of our system that we have to stop. That is effectively part of the measures and the changes that this government are determined to bring in, as well as, Madam Deputy Speaker, the long-term reform of our asylum system, which he and his party and the benches opposite voted against.
The first flight taking asylum seekers from the UK to Rwanda was cancelled just before takeoff after the European Court of Human Rights issued a last-minute injunction. It is interesting to note that most of the media in Britain had headlines like "Europe stops planned flight to Rwanda" or "Europe undermines British law." The decision was not made by the European Union. That decision was made by the European Court for Human Rights.
But does she agree with me that last night's decision undermined the original purpose of the convention by the court, and that the court stands the very real risk of losing the confidence of the British people as it seeks to undermine our domestic legal structures? Yeah.
If I may, my honourable friend makes a very, very strong and important point. And in fact, we, as I've touched on already, from the High Court to the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal, our policy, and there will be more legal action, we know this, our policy has not been found to be unlawful. There are very, very strong submissions based upon the evidence, actually the work that's taken place in country, in Rwanda, on the efficacy not just of the policy but the delivery of the policy in country. That is absolutely right. I think the public will be surprised, there's no doubt about that. But Madam Deputy Speaker, I think it's important to be cautious right now because of legal proceedings, just to finally say that we clearly are in touch with the European Court of Human Rights, because we do want to get their judgment, their decision in writing, which we have not had yet. And as I said earlier on, it is concerning when the British courts have been so public in terms of providing their summary and their positions, that last night was very opaque in decision making.
The irony of the fact is that the European Court of Human Rights can deliver legally binding judgments on the violation of any person or persons in the member states, including the right to life and the banning of torture. The court is not connected to the European Union, and despite Brexit, the UK is still a member. Yet Boris Johnson and Priti Patel say they will not back down on this issue, and the UK authorities are now contemplating withdrawing from the convention, like Putin's Russia, which will cease to be a member later this year. The last country to withdraw prior to this was Greece, whilst under the rule of a military junta in 1967. Such a drastic decision by the UK would do little to help its international reputation. What with the Partygate scandal, the misleading of Parliament, and the choosing of what parts of the protocol in Northern Ireland they wish to rip up, they now want to ignore international law and continue with their proposed refugee flights to Rwanda. Times are indeed difficult, and governments are having to make very hard decisions. In 2021, Germany took in 1.24 million refugees and 233,000 asylum seekers, by far the biggest host nation in Europe. France took in over 104,000 refugees. In comparison, the UK received just under 50,000 refugee applications. Scotland wishes to hold another referendum on independence, something the UK says is not going to happen in the near future, despite the fact that Scotland voted to remain within the European Union. Sadly, the United Kingdom has fallen a long way down the ladder of nations to be trusted. And more, its politicians believe laws were made to be broken. Keep on listening to TRP.